The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and not those of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Stefan Vance with Streetlights in Athens, Greece, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry SharePass podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
Are we really back? Because we were back before and we never came back.
And then we were away. Yes, we're back after an unfortunate and unplanned two-week hiatus. We're glad to be back.
Hey, this is Steve.
My name is Matthew.
This is episode 28, Youth Ministry Sherpas. So yeah, the truth is we love recording these episodes. But yours truly really sucks at the technical and production end of things. So.
Well, evidently, yours truly also does because I wasn't able to save anything. And so here we were with two episodes recorded. Good episodes.
They were good.
You
guys should have been here to hear them because really they were so good.
Yeah, and then they weren't. And the files were bad or just not there. And yeah.
Let's just say I poured technical coffee on the file somehow. I have no idea what happened. I'm really embarrassed by it.
And when you realized that the files were not great,
I said, oh, praise God.
Did you have emotions?
Thank you, God, for this glorious moment. And
opportunity to fully trust him with my patience.
Every word came out of my mouth was just a positive word of edification.
And you know, and that's why we're friends, Steve. I appreciate that about you. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I was so mad. I was so mad. But so we lost two episodes and then we went away and we just didn't get an opportunity to record. So we were sorry. We came back and then we left.
Yep. But now we're back.
We are back.
We're back. And one of the reasons we didn't have time to sort of jump in and record another episode is because we went away to a youth ministry conference.
We did, man. It was awesome.
It was incredible.
It was a great experience.
So we both had an opportunity to be part of the DYM 200 conference.
Right.
DYM standing for?
Download Youth Ministry.
If you're not familiar with them, you should get familiar with them. It's pretty incredible group of people, and they're doing some pretty incredible things.
They are. So it's an online company resource for youth pastors, youth workers. I'm sure many of our listeners know what it is, and it's awesome. It was founded by Josh Griffin and Doug Fields about 7 years ago, right?
I think so. They just celebrated their seventh birthday on October 1st, I believe.
That's correct. And the whole point of it is to get resources into the hands of youth workers so that we aren't always reinventing the wheel.
Right. And the thing I love about it is it's getting resources into the hands of youth workers that are created and written by youth workers.
Yeah. And they're actually getting a cut of the funds.
Yeah, absolutely. So to listen to Doug explain it at the conference was just really cool, where he said, you know, hey, I built Simple Youth Ministry and it was built on my stuff.
Right.
And then we built DYM and it's built on your stuff. That to me was just like, wow.
It's really cool.
Because I think it takes a pretty big man to say, you know, instead of having something built around my stuff, let's build it around everybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with just the germination of that idea to shift from that to something different, which has grown into something pretty amazing.
Yeah. And so a couple years ago, they started this little conference. They called it DYM 100. I remember hearing about it because I listened to their podcast and thinking, well, that'd be really cool, but I can't go to that. That's California. And they only let in 100 people, and then they came back the next year, and it was so successful, and they talked about it with such enthusiasm. They did two of them, two DYM 100s.
Week one and week two.
Yes, and there's some competition about which one is actually the better week. And so this year, they opened it up to 200, and you know, with you being on sabbatical and us starting this podcast and just trying to, you know, get to know more people and network, and I just thought, let's do this, man. Let's go to this thing. And it was awesome.
I was skeptical at first when you said, hey, let's do this. I was like, but you know, I was on sabbatical. So I was like, hey, I got time.
Right.
And so I was like, sure, I'll go along for the ride. And really glad I did. Just the idea, I mean, on its surface, the idea of being at a conference that's limited to 200 people.
Right.
I mean, I've been to the NY, National Youth Workers Convention, many times, and I love it. Going again this fall, it's going to be great. But and there's something cool about being in a room with like 4,000 youth workers.
Yeah, that definitely has its place, yeah.
But to be in a room or be in a place for 3 days with just 200 people, mm-hmm. really up the relational aspect of it.
Yeah.
To be able to connect and talk with people and even be able to connect and talk with like the bigwigs, you know, the people that are running the deal. That was, again, conceptually outside my box, but I loved it.
Yeah. So we rented a house together and we just went on, there was a Facebook group of everybody who was coming to the conference and you just put out there, hey, first 8 people to pony up, you're into the beach house. We rented a house on the beach, the Pacific Ocean.
I mean, I literally...
with guys we didn't know.
Literally listened to waves crashing as I fell asleep and as I woke every morning.
I listened to waves crashing and you're snoring.
Well...
but thankfully, the waves were louder and I was able to sleep.
Isn't that great? So, yeah. So, shout out to our Dana Point crew.
Yeah.
Our crew. It was fun. 8 people. We didn't know other than a Facebook message group that we... chatted in leading up to the conference, thinking about it and staring at pictures of this house and and the beach. It
ended up being 9 because one guy at the very last second was showing up without any place to stay. So he was number 11 in the crew with us. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. He messaged me the day of the conference. Hey, I didn't know I was coming and I needed a place to stay. You guys got an extra place? I'm like, well, we have a couch. And he's like, I'm in. So that was cool.
Like a puppy showing up at our door. Yeah.
It was so awesome.
Yeah. So we had this great experience in California. We can't tell you all the experiences we had and what a joy it was, but we want to just talk a little bit about some of the things we brought home from it that have inspired us and encouraged us and share those with you today. And it sounds like a spectacle. You say, you dog.
Does your dog bite?
Did this man my dog? Yeah. So we wanted to share some of those experiences with you, both kind of some of the content we got and just some of the vibe that we got that we're bringing back to our youth ministries. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you, even if you're not able to attend something like DYM.
Yeah, because that's a great thing when you go away to a conference or even a one-day conference, anything. You're always trying to take something home with you. And again, it could be content, could be something that you can just practically just jump right in and do. But it also just could be culturally, different ways to think or dream about how you do ministry. And so, yeah, we both walked away with a few new things, a few new ideas, and so wanted to share those today. So, Steve, what was one of your kind of takeaways from our time at DYM?
Yeah, we're just going to riff on this because we hardly have any notes.
No
today,
notes,
so.
just honest conversation.
Yeah.
All
right, first thing I thought of was just the tribal experience. I'm calling it the tribal experience because there were, like you said, 200 people in the room from all over the country. A lot of them were veteran youth workers, which was incredibly encouraging. People similar to us who've been doing this for a long time. So a lot to learn from other guys and girls as well. But just that tribal culture that we're all in this together, that youth ministry is a community of people who all have the same goal, is a great encouragement. Like, I think there's so much isolation in youth ministry and church in general. And youth ministry doesn't always get kind of the support of every church. And so people doing youth ministry often feel like they're alone. And this was just a way to come together and say, you're not in this alone. There are other people. And we were able to encourage one another in that environment. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. I mean, just, again, having that house with 8 strangers, but 8 strangers who are doing the same thing that we're doing. And so... to stand around in the kitchen or to sit on the beach around the little fire pit we had there and listen to the waves crash. And again, just hear their story. Mm-hmm. Where are you? How'd you end up there? How'd you end up in student ministry in the first place? Just to listen to people unpack their stories just fed my soul. You know, it just, you know, like,
yeah,
these are my people, right? And I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think sometimes... there's such an isolation to what we do because in our everyday lives, we're just not rubbing shoulders with people who understand what it is we do. You know, the question, like, when are you going to get a what do you do the rest of the week when you're not here on Sundays? You know, people, as opposed to being in a room with people who know exactly what you do the rest of the week and know exactly the highs and the lows and the struggles. It was just it was pretty incredible.
It was interesting in our house of the 11 guys, the youngest was actually 30. Isn't that right?
That was right. That's right. JD, the young man in the group.
And he thought, wow, I'm not going to be the youngest. There's going to be guys here younger than me. And the rest of us were old. older than him.
Older.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be the case across the board as I sat and had, you know, lunch or dinner at the conference with other people. It struck me how many people had been in youth ministry for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
And so, which was really cool because, again, I felt like, oh, wait, these are my people. Because sometimes when I'm hanging out, nothing against, you know, the mid-20 people. I had a couple of mid-20 people that work with me, and mm-hmm. I like them and all. Sure. But I feel like, oh, wow, that's a lifetime ago.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So that tribal element was just really important to me. In fact, one cool thing, we're recording this. We just had a prayer gathering. We do this every month. The youth pastors from our area get together to pray. And we had a guy who used to live in our county and moved away 4 years ago to a couple of counties away, doesn't have a network there. He showed up at DYM. He stayed in our house with us.
Yeah.
And he showed up this morning to pray with us because he's longing for a community, a network of friends, like-minded people, and wanted to pray with us. So I mean, that was pretty awesome.
That was very cool.
Yeah. So everybody needs that tribal community to get linked into others who are doing what we do.
Absolutely.
So how about you? What's one thing you brought home?
I think one of the things that I brought home was, and again, this is more not necessarily a content issue, just more of a philosophy issue. It was this idea of, I'm trying to think how to put it out there. It was this concept of not being in a hurry.
Okay.
You know, there was this cultural vibe that kind of went through everything about every presenter that kind of got up there sort of somehow touched on this idea that what we're dealing with in student ministry, kind of what we're trying to do, the responsibility we have, is so complex that there are no easy answers and there are no shortcuts. There are no, you know, here's five steps to get this thing accomplished in student ministry. And that there is lots of conversation that needs to happen in the spaces. You know, I just remember specifically one of the cool things in the conference was they brought in these legends of youth ministry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like these 12 people that just have been in it a long time and presenters at major conferences. They brought them in and they were small group leaders.
Yeah.
For us, it was like reverse youth ministry. The youth pastors were the kids in a small group, and then these legends that they brought in, Mark Ostreicher and Jim Burns and Walt Mueller, and just names that you read their books.
Right.
And now we're sitting around a table eating Chick-fil-A discussing the last session.
Yes.
And realizing that, and like I went to a session where my small group leader was the guy who led the main session right before it. And then he got back in there to say, like, look, I just gave you 25 minutes, and it was really polished and perfect. But this concept is, I mean, I'm just telling you, like, that it's not that easy.
It's not as simple as I made it sound.
And we entered into this conversation, and he was open to that conversation, even though it was his content, to be challenged about, like, well, you said this, but what about that? And to just wrestle with that, I was challenged because I think that I'm often searching for tying things into a bow.
The magic bullet.
And wrapping things up and just like, okay, we need to figure this thing out so we can go figure the next thing out.
Yes.
And I just had this like, okay, take a step back, Matthew. I mean, this vibe that ran through the whole conference. Huh. Take a step back. It's too complicated for that.
Youth ministry is a world of frayed edges.
Yeah. Be in the conversations. It wasn't like, hey, this is too complex, so run away from it. It was, this is too complex. Stop trying to fix it and just be okay to be in it.
Yeah.
And to be wrestling with it and realize that the wrestling's not always going to lead to the answer. It's going to lead to better understanding of it and better practices in it, but not the answer. And that, for me, again, I'm kind of a type A, you know, button it up, you know, check it off the to-do list kind of guy. And that sort of, it was a big poke for me.
What a great takeaway.
It was a big poke for me to just say, you need to get more comfortable in the tension. You need to get more comfortable in the tension that doesn't resolve.
Hmm.
And in student ministry, and again, I mean, we can't get into everything they're going to do, but we got into some pretty weighty topics.
We did,
in this 3 days. And that was therapeutic for me because I realized, wait, I think I'm in a lot of weighty topics that I try to make not weighty, that I try to make more manageable. And I just got to be more comfortable just living in the spaces in between and always trying to get better and always trying to help the people around me get better and understanding what we're doing here, but realizing not going to figure it out.
So, I think the encouragement that provides to people listening to this right now is just that you think, oh, I don't have the answers. I have to go find the answers. Or what's the next blog that's going to have the answers? Or the next book that's going to have the answers? Whatever the question is, it could be about sexual identity. That was a big theme at the conference, talking through some of those issues. It could be how to get along within your church, you know, church politics, for lack of a better word, some of those things. Like relationship issues, families falling apart, how we help them. Like, there are no easy three-step solutions to most things that we deal with in youth ministry.
Right.
So we should stop trying to look for the three-step solution.
Right. And
give ourselves a break.
Give ourselves a break. I do think that because of our position, that there are lots of people who look to us like, okay, what do you got?
Yeah.
What's the
answer? They're looking for the black and white answer.
They're looking for the answer. Yeah. And I think sometimes, at least I know for me personally, I think I put pressure on myself because of that. And this gave me this idea of like, I need to help those people who are looking to me for the easy black and white answer. I need to start helping them move into these frayed spaces and say, no, we're going to keep trying to get better here. We're going to keep trying to figure it out, but we're not going to hold our breath for the answer that resolves it and puts it to bed, because I think things are just too complex for that.
Is it too weird to say youth ministry is not binary?
No, sure. I mean, it makes sense to me because we were at the conference and we listened to that conversation, but it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're probably thinking, but I came to this podcast for answers.
Yeah.
Sorry, and the answer is there's no answers.
Well, no, that's not true, though, because even in that, you know, for example, when we talked about the how do you deal with students with identity issues, you know, sexual identity issues and sexual preference issues, you know, how do we deal with that? There were some practical takeaways.
There were some responses.
You know, there were some responses that said, hey, here's four things you can do better. You know, you're brave for being willing to talk about that.
Yeah.
God loves you. I love you. We want you here. I mean, those four things, those are practical. I can take that back and I can put that into practice.
I already shared that with my youth leaders.
In my student ministry. Yeah. So it's there. But for me, I would want to say, okay then. Okay, we fixed that one. What's the next one? But the reality is we didn't fix it. We just got a little better at it.
We just stepped into the mire and are willing to go there.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, there are answers and there aren't answers at the same time.
Yeah. Good. That's
so,
a really good takeaway.
So there was some actual content takeaway there. Mm-hmm. Anything else for you that sort of stood out or that you kind of came back?
Yeah, you were talking about the Youth Ministry Hall of Famers who were the small group leaders. What a tremendous idea and a gift of generosity, both from DYM, but also from those men and women who were there. So, you know, there were 12 or 13 of them, I think. And like you said, people who speak at conferences of thousands, write books, they're just people. They're just like us. They just happen to have a different platform or level of education or expertise. But they were there as kind of favors called into Josh Griffin and Doug Fields. They paid for their plane fare, and otherwise they didn't get anything.
They didn't compensate them. There was no speaking fee.
Right. But what they did was they imparted value to us. And so their time was like a gift to us as youth workers, beyond what we could have asked for or expected, and it was tremendous. And so what I took from that is youth ministry should be a really open-handed thing. Like, we need to share what we have with everybody else and not hold on to it tightly. I feel like DYM is giving to youth workers in a tremendous way, very open-handedly, And it's a great spirit to kind of carry into our ministries, even as we relate to other staff members in our body, within our own church, mm-hmm. and between churches as sure. we try to partner together. Like, let's stop worrying about all the things we have that we don't want anyone else to know about, and let's just be open-handed and generous and do everything we can to build up everybody we can for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, they unpacked at the beginning of the conference kind of what some of DYM's core values are, and one of their values was generosity.
Yeah, which I didn't see the first night because we were playing that stupid scavenger hunt, and they did not give us credit for the thing that we found, and I was very discouraged by that.
Well, you also had someone on your team that kept giving you negative points, and I'm not sure what that was about. But
Carter was definitely on their hit list.
Yeah, exactly. But they did actually model. I mean, just for the record, DYM, over the weekend or over the 3 days that we were there, they completely modeled this idea of generosity. The swag was pretty impressive. I actually have a pillowcase that says DYM helps me sleep at night.
There was so much swag. I took a small suitcase because I wasn't sure if I was going to check it on or carry it on. So I could barely get it closed
barely
on the
get
way
your
home,
stuff back.
Which is pretty cool.
But I think, again, them modeling that for us then is a challenge for us. Like, am I being generous with what I have, you know, with whether it be my volunteer team, whether it be my students, or whether, like you said, it be the network of people that are around me, am I willing to just be open-handed?
Yeah, is it about how I look or what I have or my great wisdom or my whatever? Or is it about passing that along to others, multiplying myself, being generous, open-handed, letting what happens happen?
Absolutely. I was really struck, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, Steve, because we had a conversation about this, and I think this was meaningfully to you. But one of the sessions, one of the youth ministry legends, Heather Fleece, she's phenomenal.
She's awesome. She was my small group leader, which if I had to choose any of the people up there, she would have been my number one choice.
Oh, who wouldn't make that the number one choice, especially after introduction? But anyway, you know, she gave this talk, this kind of keynote message that didn't have any content. I mean, that content in, okay, but let me rephrase that.
I know exactly what you mean.
But it wasn't the content like, here's a few things to go be better at being a youth pastor. Here's some leadership tip or a game or whatever. She talked about being true to who you were made to be.
Yeah.
And being secure in that. Yeah. And being okay with whatever that is, and not climbing the ministry ladder per se if that's not what you were meant to do. And it got me in all my feels as far as this whole idea, just because I'm going, you know, I'm in transition in my position in my church, and being at DYM actually was a struggle for me because, you know, my church is moving me in different directions. Mm-hmm. I'm still in student ministry, but not in student ministry in the same way that a lot of people like yourself or other people are in student ministry. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's been an identity crisis.
Yeah.
It has been an identity crisis. I'm at DYM and I look around and I think, do I belong here? Because I'm a missions and outreach pastor who oversees the student ministry in our church after having done it for 28 years. And so I know that I am. But there was an identity crisis. But then for her to give that message was just, wait, why am I looking for external validation to what it is that God is doing in my life and where he's moving me and where my church is moving me? Because that's a part of my story.
Right.
And so it was a breath of fresh air and a challenge for me to just think differently about all of the changes that are happening and wherever it ends up. As long as I'm being true to who I am and not trying to please other people or, you know, or ascribe to some position, then I'll be okay.
That's such a great takeaway. I took so much from that, too. I've heard it differently as it applied to me.
Sure.
So I heard the message, she is an extrovert to the
nth degree.
You're an extrovert to the nth degree. I'm an introvert, and I've wrestled with that in youth ministry for years. That might be a great episode someday. Talk about the differences and how we wrestle through those. But and so sometimes I question, am I any good at this because I am introverted? There are things that are really hard for me relationally. But what I took from that was, I'm exactly who God made me to be. I'm how I was created to be, and that has a place in youth ministry. And I actually sat up. You went to sleep that night. We were sharing a room. I sat up thinking about that message for like an hour afterwards and just wrestling through some of my insecurities in that and just coming to terms with it. Heather was of great value to me in that talk. So, yeah, that was really, really good.
Yeah, very good.
Now, one of the things that she did say was she had an opportunity to move into a different position. She's a middle school pastor, and a lot of people would say, well, that's a stepping stone to the next thing. She's had that opportunity and didn't take it because she does what she was made to do.
Right, absolutely.
And so whether that means you move into something else because you were made to do that or you stay where you are because you were made to do that, that is such an enormous relief and affirmation of who God made us to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Absolutely.
So the next time somebody says to you, so how long are you going to be doing this? When are you going to become a real pastor?
Oof.
You can just say,
punch them right in the nose. Okay, don't do that.
After you drop kick them, punch them in the nose, and whatever else you want to do, you can say to them, I'm made to do youth ministry. Why would I want to do anything else?
I'm doing exactly what I was built and crafted to do.
Or you can say to them what I always say, why would I want a demotion? Seriously.
Yeah, true story.
Just the best place to be in ministry as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, yeah, that's a great, great takeaway. I have one more to share with you.
All right, please do.
I probably have more, but I'll share this last one. The one thing I love about DYM, and I think the reason that I relate to it maybe so well personally and have since they started, is they have this incredible balance between genuine heart for ministry and ridiculous, irreverent silliness.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they have so much fun. Their content is so good, but their games and stuff are so fun, and just their presence. It's a vibe of just, we delight in doing this. Let's have a lot of fun together. And I love that. I love that.
We laughed and laughed and laughed at DYM.
There was an arm wrestling competition between Heather Flees and Greg Steer.
And that was pretty impressive.
It was epic. And Greg ended up on top, but it was not an easy battle. And he was pretty proud of himself for beating her. But just so many moments of just fun and laughter. And I see that kind of weaving its way through DYM. I would like to think it's part of our youth ministry culture here at my church. I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's great value to creating that culture where everybody is disarmed by the level of humor and fun and engagement that we provide as a ministry that just enables us then when it's time to be serious and time to talk about heavy stuff or talk about the gospel, people are open to that because their hearts are so tenderized by the laughter and sure. the love and the vibe in the room, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think as you, again, for some people, as you climb to positions of notoriety, which again, there's no way of getting around, Doug Fields and Josh Griffith have risen to places of notoriety. They've yeah. had great success, and they've led powerful ministries, and they've done incredible things. And yet, they do not take themselves too seriously.
No.
And that's refreshing. That when me, a virtual nobody, right? I mean, let's just be honest. I'm just a guy out there doing the thing, and that's fine. And
nobody knows who you are.
Nobody knows who I am. I didn't write any books. I probably will never write any books.
You are in a viral video right now, but we'll have to talk about that later.
That's true. I am. But,
which is pretty awesome.
Which is pretty cool. But a guy like me walks into that room, and you're in a room with yeah. somebody who has that notoriety. There's an automatic disconnect. Like, this person and I don't have anything in common,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this person does not have the time for a virtual nobody. But then when they disarm you with that humor and with that not taking themselves too seriously, all of a sudden you're like, oh, actually, we could hang out.
You just took your shirt off on stage, I think we could hang out together.
I think we could hang out. And and again, I think that
yeah.
no matter what your position is, no matter if you're a nobody and you're just cranking away at it and nobody knows your name, or whether you're becoming somebody, either way, there's a challenge there to just not take yourself too seriously and bring that level of humor that just levels the playing field for anybody in the room. Because I walk into a room and I see Doug Fields and he's way up here and I'm way down here. And I know we're on radio, so you can't see my hands moving. But anyway, but even for the person who's just cranking away at a church of 200 and they got a youth group of 20, when you walk into that room, there's 20 kids. You're way up here.
Yeah.
And they think they're down here. And so to be able to not take yourself too seriously and disarm the room with some silliness and some laughter and some, I think that's just helpful. Yeah. And I think it's a good challenge. Yeah.
And if you're kind of like me and you're like, you want to be a bigger deal than you are, stop. Stop. Just stop. I wrestle with that. And it's just so silly. I'm just doing what God made me to do. And he's blessing me here. And I'm content with that. I need to be content with that. Wherever you are, whatever context you're in, you know, appreciate who God made you to be. Don't take yourself so seriously that you think you're anything special, but don't discount the value that you bring
absolutely
to your environment too. Good stuff, man.
So many other things we could talk about.
There was a llama there. That was awesome.
I mean, it just felt so right that we got to take a picture with a llama, a real live llama.
It was a live llama.
It was a live llama.
I think it was sedated, man. It just stared at the camera.
It was pretty chill. It was pretty chill. But anyway, so
it was amazing.
Lots of cool things. If you ever get a chance to jump in on a DYM conference, or if you're not a gold member
gold
or whatever,
member, yep,
you should become a gold member and just get in on that. There's just, it's an open-handed sharing system.
Yep.
The resources are greatly inexpensive, and you know when you buy it that you're helping out another youth pastor who's just
some dude just like you made it.
Some dude just like you made it, and he's going to get a couple extra dollars to take his kids out for ice cream. So get on there and buy some stuff.
It's pretty cool. So we're really blessed and grateful that we were able to do that. Thanks to our churches for providing the support for us to do that.
Absolutely.
Gave us a lot of energy and refueled us, which is really cool.
Yep.
So we're going to continue on with another episode next time.
So we'll see you in a week.
Yes. Well, we won't see them because this is a podcast. This is audio.
True.
So your hand motions and it doesn't really
matter. I appreciate you.
But
putting up with my hand motions.
So we'll post a few things in the show notes. We'll post the llama picture. We'll post. I got to put Matthew's viral video in there because it's pretty special. I got to give you a big shout out.
I appreciate that.
And so thanks for listening today, Youth Ministry Sherpas. We will be back next time with episode number 29.
But for now, Sherpas out.